Good evening, this is Patrick Donahue. As always, we appreciate you listening to Bible Crossfire every Sunday night at this time. Of course, one of the points of the program is to allow you to call in with your Bible questions or comments. We don't try to squelch what's being taught. But what we do insist upon is that the Bible is our standard in religion, and whatever it says is right. It doesn't matter what I think, or how I feel, or what I want the truth to be. All that matters is, what does the Bible say, actually say, about any particular topic? And that brings us to the topic for tonight, until we receive our first call. I was heard somebody insinuate that they knew that Jesus was coming back soon. How do you know that? Well, a lot of believers think that the language of 24 verse 6, where it says, "You shall hear wars, hear of wars and rumors of wars," that that is given as a sign of the second coming of Christ. And they reason that since we hear about a number of wars going on in the world today, then Jesus must be coming back soon. But the truth is, in this section, Matthew 24 verse 6, actually Matthew 24, 1 through 34, Jesus is giving signs about an event that was to occur in the lifetime of his live audience. That is, the destruction of Jerusalem. Notice verse 34 nails down the timing for us when Jesus says, this is Matthew 24, 34, "Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled." So here we have the text that says, "You shall hear wars and rumors of wars." People use that and say that's a sign that Jesus is coming back pretty soon today, because there's wars going on. But this is actually a sign of something that happened in 70 AD in that generation. That's what Jesus said. "This generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled." Talking about the destruction of Jerusalem by the Roman armies, which occurred in about 70 AD, that would have been about 37 years after Jesus prophesied that. And matter of fact, that's one of the most valuable prophecies in the Bible, because we have Jesus making a future prophecy, and then we know from history outside of the Bible that the fulfillment of that prophecy occurred exactly like Jesus said 37 years later. That is is proof that Jesus was inspired of God, that he was the Son of God, since he claimed to be that, because he was able to predict with certain future. And then we take that away and we act like that prophecy refers to the second coming of Christ, future. But that goes against what the text says. Again, Jesus said in verse 34, talking about everything he has said up to that point in the chapter, "This generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled." So if you believe the Bible, these signs that we read about in Matthew 24 are not signs about the future second coming of Christ, but they were signs pointing to something that was going to happen in that generation. That's what Jesus said. Do you love Jesus enough to believe that? That's what he said. It's talking about the 70 AD destruction of Jerusalem. If you have a Bible question or comment, give us a call at 877-655-6755. The number to call is 877-655-6755. Now, Jesus goes on to say in Matthew 24, verse 36, "But of that day and hour," now he's referring to the second coming of Christ. All these things that leading up to this point, he says, were going to happen in that generation. "But of that day and hour," referring to the future second coming of Christ, he says, "knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only." And if you read verses 36 through 44, you will see the point is that nobody knows when the second coming of Christ is going to be. There will be no signs, zero signs for that. Instead, the second coming of Christ will be like a, quote, thief in the night. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 2. That is, how does a thief come? With no warning. Now, many are confused, thinking that when Jesus comes back, he will set up his kingdom. But notice what he says in Mark chapter 9, verse 1. Jesus speaking says, "Verily I say unto you, that there be some of them that stand here, which shall not taste of death, till they have seen the kingdom of God come with power. So many people think, oh, when Jesus comes back in the future, that's when the kingdom is going to be set up. But Jesus says in Mark 9:1 that some of the people that were listening to him then, some of his live audience, those standing there then, they would not die till they had seen the kingdom of God come. So obviously the kingdom came during the lifetime, during that generation, during the lifetime of some of those that heard Jesus live. Again, the number to call if you have a Bible question or comment is 877-655-6755. I want you to read that verse and see it for yourself, Mark 9:1. Now, 2 Peter 3:10 uses that same phrase, quote, thief in the night, to refer to the timing of the second coming of Christ and says, when he comes, it is not to set up his kingdom here on earth, but to destroy the earth, the end of the world. The earth the earth and also the works that are therein shall be burned up, according to 2 Peter 3, verse 10. When Jesus comes back, and that's at the day of the Lord, when Jesus comes back, he's not going to set up an earthly kingdom. He's going to come back to destroy the earth. It doesn't make any sense to say that the signs in Matthew 24:5-33 are referring to the second coming of Christ. How could fleeing to the mountains quickly help us escape the end of the world? And that's what Jesus says in Matthew 24:16, then let him, them which is in Judea, flee into the mountains. Why would Jesus suggest or recommend that people flee to the mountains if he's talking about the end of the world? He's not. He's obviously talking about Titus and his armies, the Roman armies, coming to destroy Jerusalem. And he says, if you see the abomination of desolation, when you see those armies, go to the mountains quickly. He's making the point, make sure you're not caught in the city. That city ended up being sieged. And so when you see those armies, get out. That's what he's talking about here. He's talking about the destruction of Jerusalem, the Roman armies destroying the temple and Jerusalem in 70 AD. He's not talking about the second coming of Christ, which is future to us. Again, 877-655-6755. The fact is, we don't have any idea when Jesus is coming back. Mark 13:32 says, but of that day and that hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. That verse says nobody knows when Christ is coming back. Not even Jesus knew. Do we think we know more than Jesus? Even Jesus didn't know when he was coming back. And now we think we can say that we know that Jesus is coming soon? Today? We don't know that. When people say that, it just shows that they are confused about the signs in Matthew 24, thinking those signs are signs of the second coming of Christ when they're not. They're signs regarding the destruction of Jerusalem that already occurred in 70 AD. That's the confusion. People say, I know Jesus is coming soon. No, you don't. We don't know when Jesus is coming back. Jesus didn't even know then when he was coming back. And you think you know? We don't know when Jesus is coming back. 877-655-755 is the number to call if you have a Bible question or comment. So we talked about the kingdom. Some people think when Jesus comes back, he's going to set up his kingdom. But you know, the kingdom exists right now. Matthew verse 2, Jesus said, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. What is at hand? That means it's almost here. It's right up. It's not something like 2,000 years later. He said, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So the kingdom of heaven was at hand in Matthew 3, verse 2. Again, we already read Mark 9, where Jesus said, Mark 9:1, that there be some of them that stand here, which shall not taste of death, till they have seen the kingdom of God come with power. So Jesus asserts that some of those in his live audience at that time, some of them would not die before the kingdom of God had come. So the kingdom of God had to come in that generation. If it hadn't started yet, that would mean there's some people living that were listening to Jesus at that time that are still living today, over 2,000 years later. No, Mark 9:1 makes it clear that the kingdom came during the lifetime of some of those that were listening to Jesus. That's what he said. Some of them that stand here, Mark 9, 1, which shall not taste of death till they have seen the kingdom of God come with power. So how can some say the kingdom hasn't come yet? This verse, Jesus said it would come during the lifetime of some of those that were listening to him. Charles from Charlotte, North Carolina. Go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Well, my question is, I've always heard from every preacher that I've really ever listened to when they talk about the second coming is that all of these signs have to be completed before Christ returns. And then I hear what you just said, and it makes a lot of sense to me. But are all of them wrong?
Now all of these signs that these preachers normally quote are in the first part of Matthew 24. Now let me read to you verse 34 again, Charles, and see what you think. After he's talked about all of these signs, wars and rumors of wars, people claiming to be Christ falsely, he says, "Verily I say unto you," in verse 34, "this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled." Doesn't that sound like he's talking about something that would occur during that time period, not something 2,000 years later?
Absolutely it does, because, I mean, it's present tense, this generation.
Yeah.
And I get what you're saying, and it makes a lot of sense to me. But it's still confusing, because it's like something that I've heard my entire life. Is that totally wrong?
Unfortunately, Charles, some people made a living off of this false doctrine that these signs point to the second coming of Christ, and like Hal Lindsey made a lot of money with his books by doing that.
Right.
But when you take away the money, what does the Bible actually say?
Yeah. And so you can't take away or add to.
Yeah. Now in verse 36, Jesus starts talking about the second coming of Christ, and he says, "But of that day and hour knoweth no man, not the angels of heaven, not even the Father." In Mark 13, the same passage says, "Not even the Son." And then he relates, if you keep reading there, Charles, you see that he compares the second coming of Christ to be like basically a thief in the night, Noah, the flood coming. In other words, it's going to be a complete surprise. There's no signs. His point is there's no signs about the second coming of Christ. I think you've read a number of places in the Bible, Charles, where it says the second coming of Christ is going to be like a thief in the night.
Correct.
Right? Like I quoted 1 Thessalonians 5:2. Well, thief, if he's going to come to your house at nighttime to steal something, he's not going to give you any signs or any warnings. He's not going to let you know ahead of time that he's coming, right?
Right.
So the second coming of Christ, there's not going to be any signs. It's going to be like a thief in the night. We're not going to know when that's going to come.
I totally agree with you. It's very. I'm kind of dumbfounded by what I've heard my entire life, but I agree with you.
Charles, you know, one thing this does for us, here's what Jesus' conclusion is. In verse 44, he says, about this, when he's talking about the second coming of Christ, he says, "Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh." So perhaps that's the reason God doesn't give us any signs about the second coming of Christ. He doesn't tell us when it's going to be, because he wants us to always be ready. You know what I'm saying?
I got you. I get it.
If we knew when the second coming of Christ was, let's say I knew it was going to be a week from now, everybody would just live like the devil for 6 days and then try to straighten up on that last day and get right before he came. But Jesus, God says, "I want you to be ready, always ready." So, and to facilitate that, he doesn't tell us when the second coming of Christ is. We got to always be ready.
Right. Well, can I ask you this?
Yes, sir.
In Revelation, where it talks about the two prophets that God is going to send back or raise up, is that after the second coming?
Well, let me read you the first verse of Revelation 1. Revelation chapter 1, verse 1. Okay, you ready?
I'm ready.
The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. So, the very first verse of the book of Revelation sets the environment, the context for us. It's saying that the things that were revealed to John, this book, the book of Revelation, are about things which must shortly come to pass.
Right.
You follow me?
I'm with you.
So as a general rule, the things you see in the book of Revelation are prophecies about something that was going to occur during the first century time frame, shortly come to pass.
Okay.
Not things that are going to occur future to us. That's the point of Revelation 1:1. Shortly come to pass. That's what these things are. I know people want to look at the book of Revelation and talk about it, the second coming of Christ. But for the most part, it's talking about things that were going to happen in the first century time frame.
Okay. So, I guess it goes back to what you said, that nobody knows, just be ready.
Right. There you go, Charles. You got any follow-up?
Well, I guess so. No, man, you've answered a lot of my questions, and thank you.
Charles, we appreciate your call. Keep listening to the program whenever you get a chance.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Have a good day.
You too, sir.
So Mark 9, chapter 9, verse 1 makes it clear that the kingdom of God would come while some of those standing there listening to Jesus were still alive. That's what he says. Some of them that stand here which shall not taste of death, seeing the kingdom of God come with power. And then Acts 2, 30 and 31 kind of nail it down for when the kingdom came. I'm picking up in the middle of a context here. It says, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He's seen this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ. So when did Christ begin to sit on the throne of David? When did Christ begin his kingly reign? Well, this verse says it began the resurrection of Christ. Let me read it again. Acts 2, 30 and 31, that he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He's seen this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ. So Christ was raised up to sit on the throne, and it says, I'm speaking of the resurrection of Christ. So when he was resurrected, he began his reign on the throne of David. So Christ reigns now. It's not that when Jesus comes back, he's going to set up his kingdom. Christ is reigning now, and those who will voluntarily are willing to submit to him are citizens of his kingdom.
Absolutely.
Kevin from Oklahoma, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Yeah, you got me, huh?
Go ahead, Kevin.
I'm traveling on the road and just listening to you here. And isn't there a few indicators to us, though, to kind of tell us that when he might come back, that knowledge will increase, that the gospel must go to all nations? There's a few things there that kind of allude to what has to happen, I believe, isn't there?
I don't know of any. Jesus said, but of that day and hour knoweth no man. Even Jesus didn't know.
Well, I know we don't know the time or hour. I'm driving, so I can't get to my Bible, but I know that the gospel must go to all nations, right? And I'm trying to think where that verse is.
Well,
before he comes back.
I believe that you're still talking about Matthew 24, and that's it's still talking about in that generation. Here it is in verse, I think you're probably talking about verse 14. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Well, that's Matthew 24, verse 14. Hang with me, Kevin. But verse 34, 20 verses later says, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. So So that is saying that the gospel would be preached to all nations. That's something that would be fulfilled in that generation. You following my point,
well,
Kevin?
I follow your point, but I think history tells us that has not happened yet. We still have nations that don't even have Bibles in their hands in their own native languages.
Well, Kevin, let me read to you Colossians 1:23. Now, Colossians 1,
okay.
Colossians has been written, we'll say, 20 to 40 years after the events of Matthew 24, which is where it says the gospel would be preached to all nations, which you brought up, okay?
Yeah.
Here's what Paul said by inspiration of God in Colossians 1:23. He says, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. So you see, so Paul is saying that at that point, by the time he wrote Colossians 1:23, the gospel had been preached to every creature under heaven. And so we have in 24:14 predicting that the gospel would be preached to all the world. By the time you get to Colossians 1:23, it says it had been preached to every creature which is under heaven. Do you see my point, Kevin?
I see what you're saying. I'll have to look that one. Look at that. You're throwing me a curveball.
Yeah. But Colossians 1:23, he says, the gospel which was preached to every creature which is under heaven. Past tense. So by that time, which is several decades after the events of Matthew 24, by that time, that had been fulfilled. The gospel had been preached to all the world. That's pretty interesting, isn't it, Kevin?
It is, and I have always agreed with you that Matthew 24, the bulk of it, is destruction to Jerusalem. I agree with that. But I always felt like there were some other indicators there that was talking about his second coming as well. But I guess I better go back and do my homework.
Hey, Kevin, why would if the second coming is going to be like a thief in the night? Does the thief
That's right.
give you any warnings that he's coming?
No, but no. But
okay.
You're right. He just warns us to be vigilant and to watch out for false teaching, false prophets.
Yep. He says basically there's not going to be any warning of the second coming, therefore be also always ready. So we always got to be ready because we don't know when it's coming.
Well, I agree with that.
Appreciate your call, Kevin.
Well, thank you, buddy. All right, bye.
Thank you for your call. We got just a few more minutes, maybe enough time to get in one more call. 877-655-6755 if you want to try to get a call in right before the end of the program. In Colossians 1:13, we read, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. And so that verse is not true unless the kingdom existed at that time, because he says that people had been translated into the kingdom. So obviously the kingdom existed then. Revelation 1:9 says, I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ. So John was their brother and companion in the kingdom. Well, how could that be true if the kingdom didn't exist? So all these preachers saying that Jesus is going to come back and set up his kingdom, that contradicts all of these verses saying that the kingdom existed at that time, that it was going to be set up in the lifetime of those Jesus was talking to. And then we see just a couple, 3 decades later that it existed and that people were in the kingdom. Instead of setting up the kingdom when Christ comes again, at that time, Christ is going to deliver up the kingdom to God. 1 Corinthians 15:23-24 says, they that are Christ at his coming, then cometh the end when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall put down all rule and all authority and power. So that's saying that at the end, when Christ comes back, he's going to deliver up the kingdom to God. Not that he's going to start the kingdom, but the kingdom will end back to God the Father. We're going to have to go off the air. We appreciate you listening to Bible Crossfire. If you would like perhaps to face-to-face Bible study with somebody like me in your area, I'd be glad to set that up. Or if you'd like to get on a Bible course, send me an email. Or just talk to me about the Bible during the week, send me an email. The email address is BibleCrossfire@email.com. BibleCrossfire@email.com. Send me an email anytime. I'd love to talk to you at any time about the Bible.